You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
I'm Lee Brown. This is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And today we're in entrepreneur world. We're going to talk to Mike Abramowitz and we'll talk about getting your life back. So if that's one of your resolutions, frankly, that happens every single time you wake up in the morning, he's got some great stories and some great insights. I think you're going to enjoy this conversation. And I'll see you on the other side. All right. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. How are you?
Oh, I've got no complaints on this sunny day, which is our one warm day this week. And it goes back down again.
Yeah. Where are you located?
I'm in Concord, North Carolina. How about you?
I'm in St. Augustine, Florida. So I'm with you. It got a little cold. It got like in the 40s here, man. It was a little cold, man.
Wait a minute. Isn't St. Augustine the Fountain of Youth?
That is. That's how I look this way. I'm actually 96. Yeah.
But is that a joke everybody in St. Augustine uses? Because I feel like it's what they teach in elementary school.
Yeah. We just moved here, actually. I was in Tampa for 20 years and then moved over across the state. So my wife's parents, her family lives up in Jacksonville. So it's about an hour from us.
So just right across four and Shazam, you're in a good place, right?
Right. Exactly.
Perfect. Well, thank you for coming on the show. Tell my audience a little bit about who Mike is. Now they know, of course, that you've chased your wife's family across the state of Florida. But what did you do in and around real estate? And give us a little bit of background.
Sure. So I bought my first house when I was 20 years old. I was in college and I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad when I was like 18 or 19. And I was driving around a red 91 Mitsubishi Eclipse and it was up for renewal. You know, I needed a new one, but instead of investing in the liability, invested in the asset of real estate. So I bought my first house at 20 and that was in 2005. So 2005. Not knowing anything. I didn't know anything. I was running a marathon and didn't know what I was running into or doing it for. I just knew it was a good decision and it was good until it wasn't. My mom, unfortunately, she passed when I was 20 as well, but I took her life insurance money and I bought another condo with that life insurance money. So that was my second property when I was 21. And then at 22, I picked up a tax sale that my dad kind of was like, you should do this. Like, if you have the capital, you should do this. So I did. He owns a plumbing business, but he used to have like a background in investments. So I had three properties essentially before I graduated to college when I was 22 years old, got my engineering degree. I was also in sales with Cutco Cutlery, the kitchen knives and Vector Marketing. So I paid my way through college selling Cutco. And then when I graduated, I had the three rental properties. I went into management with Cutco 2008. And then we know what happened from there. And then I could get into the pitfalls. I could get into all the lessons, but I'll kick it to you. But that's where things started in real estate. And then I could obviously where I'm at now, it's a little different, but that was the starting point for me when I dipped my toe first and foremost.
So first of all, I have to say, everybody out there who's in real estate, quit trash talking Cutco people because y'all talk a lot of smack about Cutco salespeople, even though you love their knives. One of the things that's amazing about that company is they really do give young people a good start. And it's a wonderful place to get some people skills and some sales training that will literally change whatever career path you wind up in. I love Cutco, not just for the product that they sell, but for how they really invest in the next generation of salespeople. And I say this as somebody who lost the top of her knuckle to my really good Cutco knives. That's how sharp they are. And they never need sharpening, you know, so I did clean the blood up and I did grow back the skin. The meat never grew back, but you know, I still love Cutco, even though they took my knuckle. And I also want to point out that you read Rich Dad, Poor Dad at a really young age. My goodness, I've tried to get my kids to read it. My kids are 17 and 19 and I've made them play Robert Kiyosaki's cash flow game and they hate me for it. I think it's because it hits a little close to home. And don't you wish that we could get this next generation of people to read Rich Dad, Poor Dad instead of getting on TikTok and whining about how they're never going to make it?
Yeah. Well, my Cutco mentor is who gave me that book. So that was a part of our leadership training program. So it all kind of comes full circle. And that's my origin. I mean, I just retired from Cutco after 20 years. So I trained over 5,000 people that did over $19 million in sales because of what it did for me. It was a really important piece of me to continue to share that with other people. So I'm with you. I love that. We call that a battle wound. So you got a battle wound in the kitchen. But yeah, the product line is fantastic. But I agree, the student work program, the development program is skills for life that is so impactful for me and a lot of other students that I was able to develop and train.
So speaking of those battle wounds, and you've already alluded to it a couple of times, where would you say you had your first big learning moment in real estate?
Oh, only one. So
which is a really big, expensive one.
Here's what I'll say. The short of the story, and then we could go in every direction you want. I ended up losing not only the properties, but I lost $130,000. I was $130,000 in debt in my mid-20s, lost the properties, and had a 400 credit score near bankruptcy. So I went from climbing up. I was going to retire early, the big climb, and then the market collapsed. All the details of like vandalizing the properties because I had just put renters in there because I was hemorrhaging money, and then they were terrible renters. And then there was a mold breakout on one of the properties, and then I had abandoned it. There was deficiency judgments, like everything that kind of packaged in there while I'm like trying to build my direct sales office and be like a business owner and trying to navigate all this. It was a pretty chaotic season. And obviously that put a challenge on the relationship. I was dating a girl for 7 years. We ended up parting ways because it was just really tough to balance a relationship. Unhealthy habits in my eating kind of started there. So I call it the valley of my 20s from all the learning moments. I mean, my self-worth was tied to my net worth. And when you do that in your 20s and then it kind of goes bye-bye, it was really tough. So lots and lots of learning lessons in there during that season. Of course, we can unpack some of them. Where I'm at now, fast forward, you go a decade later, I'm 38, accredited investor, high 700 credit score, and married. I have 2 kids under 4. One is a 3-year-old and one is just born. She just came to us in December, so newborn infant. Now the strategy is a little different. Syndications, putting money into hard money lending, a couple of syndications. That's kind of where I'm at right now and trying to do more of like the passive cash flow type of investing where I just collect the check and I'm not operating some of these properties like I was back then because I could mitigate the risk in my earlier days. And now it's like, it's just a different strategy that I'm taking at the moment.
So I love that. And there's a couple of things I really want to touch on. The first one is how lucky you were that the financial stress ended a relationship that obviously wasn't where you're meant to be. And sometimes we forget to look back at where we thought we were going and realize if I'd gone in that path, wouldn't have these 2 beautiful kids and the wife you have now. So it all happened exactly on time and for the right reasons, because yay, babies. And then I'm going to talk about this whole comeback story. I mean, I don't know that we hear enough comeback stories in today's world. And we have an entire generation now that, I mean, honestly, they do resort to TikTok. I was just watching a realtor in Orlando who had shown up on the Matt Walsh show. And I'm thinking, oh, this is not going to be good for our people. And he's on TikTok complaining about how his generation just doesn't have it as easy as his parents' generation. And it was complain, excuse, excuse, excuse. But you don't ever hear the last part. The missing part is, what if we do this? What if we do that? And the keep going mentality instead of somebody give me something. And what you're telling me is nobody gave you anything. You just had to figure out how to bit by bit, put the pieces back together. And that's huge because where you are now, I'm going to guess you're grateful for what happened in your 20s because you appreciate where you've landed. And I'm guessing you're probably more cognizant of all the financial pieces now than you were in the early days.
Lee, I'm going to share a story if that's okay. So it's interesting you say that. Yes, the short answer is yes, but I'm going to share a story because it's important. Circa 2012, I went to my first Tony Robbins seminar, and that's where I realized that all the stuff that I went through in my 20s was a mess, but he said, my mess is my message. So I walked across fire. I turned my mess into my message. I left that event. I spoke for 300 hours at the schools in Pinellas County, Florida, where I was living, crafting my message. So I was speaking to the schools, crafting my message, which turned into my first book. That book, Grab Tomorrow, Your Best Year Ever. It was my first book. It was my baby. I launched it. It was great. I also created a local charity on the back end of that where we were raising money. All the book sales went to feeding the homeless. We provided over 100,000 sandwiches to less fortunate in Tampa, PB&J for Tampa Bay. So we turned this mess into a message. But the challenge was, again, I'm running a business trying to make money. I'm also running these books and people speaking and book signings and all these things. I still had no time for a relationship and health. So I hired a business coach. This is about 2016. So I hired a business coach to teach me how to systemize my business so I could have more time freedom. So the guy I hired, his name is Andrew Biggs. He scaled a company, helped scale a company in India from 6 million to 30 million with a staff of 1,400. And he came back to the States and started coaching entrepreneurs on how to scale their small businesses. I was his first client. So he showed me how to take my CupGo operation where I was constantly the bottleneck. I had 1,000 clients who bought CupGo from me. So I was answering my phone for them. I was recruiting students. So all the new students calling in for a job, I was answering my phone for them. And my pre-existing students that were selling CupGo were calling me for help on their sales appointments. So I was constantly this bottleneck. So he helped me implement these systems. So therefore, it removed me as the cog in the machine. I hired offshore virtual assistants. I put in some technology and some different automations in the business. I did some things virtually that was unconventional. So this was like 2016, 17, 18. And then COVID hits in 2020. And it was like, boom, all systems go. Implemented all these systems. We provided over 1,000 student jobs. And we did over $2.5 million in sales in 2020. And my wife and I, at the time, she was pregnant with our son. We took an 18-day road trip, still doing $100,000 sales weeks and just like absolutely crushing it. But here's the piece of the story, Lee, that I want to make sure everyone hears. December 31st, New Year's Eve, 2020, my son decided to come early. He wasn't due until April. We delivered him at 26 weeks, weighing 1 pound, 4 ounces. Okay. So he was measuring, he was this big, he was measuring 23 weeks. And we were in the hospital in the NICU with him for 8.5 months. So for 254 days. But because of all those systems that I put in my business, I was still able to create over $250,000 in revenue and six figures in profits while we were in the hospital with him. So when we got out of the hospital, he was fully vent dependent. He had his trach. And I said to my now business partner, who was my business coach, I said, could we partner up and teach other business owners on how to do this? How to create a systemized business so they could remove themselves in case something like this happens. So that was the birthplace of what I do now, is to help business owners systemize their business so they could get time freedom to spend time on what matters most. So we created an agency model with AI-informed virtual assistants. We have a coaching platform, but that was the birthplace. So from what you said, the struggle of what happened created hundreds of other business owners to be able to get time freedom from their business so they don't have to be the bottleneck like I was. My son is doing great now. He's off the vent after 2 years. He just got his trach sewn up. He's thriving. He just turned 3. He's doing great. He's like a miracle baby. And I share this because my wife had to leave her corporate job. I had to find a way to replace her income. And from all of these circumstances and everything that came my way, I was able to, again, take my mess, turn it into a message, turn it into a gift and a superpower that I did not know existed within me. So yes, to your point, I am like the epitome of what it means to be a comeback story and just continue to be resourceful. And you can too. This story is not about me. It's like, it's possible. It's possible to do it. You just got to surround yourself around the right people. And Tony was a big catalyst for me. My business coach was a catalyst for me. So yeah, again, I know it's story time with Mike. It's a little long of a story, but it kind of captures what you said, which is what happens to us often happens for us if we just give a little bit of time to see that.
Well, I mean, life is so precious. So anytime I hear those stories, my mother's heart is just pounding out of my chest because it's such a gift. And then the gift you gave your wife was the finances were giving her permission to do what she needed to do. And I think a lot of couples that find themselves in that situation, they don't think they have permission to walk away from the job, but you created it accidentally on time. But you're offering an opportunity for other people to set it up on purpose on time because you do not know when you're going to be faced with that. And it could be so many different scenarios, especially for my generation being medium age. We're the sandwich generation. We have kids that are high school and college and parents that are aging. And so you're trying to manage two different people who need to have you around. And if something were to go wrong on either end, my business has to be self-sustaining. And particularly in real estate, I was sitting here writing down that note about you calling yourself the bottleneck. I see this so frequently in real estate, where somebody is skilled at working with the public, they are skilled at real estate, and the phone just keeps ringing, and they just keep saying yes. And because they said yes too many times, their bandwidth is overloaded, service level starts to slow down, they start losing business. And in the meantime, if they'd had some kind of system or some kind of help in place, they could have sustained it or even grown it in case something happens. But even if nothing ever big happens, you could live a more fulfilling and productive life if you're just not carrying around that burden. I think your story is just, well, first of all, it's a reminder that even at 26 weeks old, we have this modern medicine to keep babies alive. Yep. So amazing.
And we call that time rich, by the way. That's what we call it in our company, just being time rich.
And you're family rich too. So you can be time and family rich.
If you are remotely awake, then you know that we are heading into some really tricky economic times. We have home buyers that have put the kibosh on buying. We have sellers who have found out suddenly their houses aren't dipped in 14 karat gold. And as a realtor, you are still trying to keep up with the business you have and trying to answer questions in the meantime while also managing sky high fuel costs at the pump. Never fear, because my new video course is coming out right now, and it's called How to Dominate During a Recession. I've been a realtor for 22 years. My business went up every year during the Great Recession, and it's all because of education. This course is 4 modules. There might even be some bonus content for you. The price is $199. I am delighted to bring this out as quickly as possible because, friends, there's no time like the present to make sure our neighbors are stronger and we protect the American dream. Click on this link, www.dominatethisrecession.com, and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content.
When you meet with an entrepreneur and you find out that they are their own bottleneck and they're probably doing pretty well financially, but they're completely strung out, where do you start them on the journey? Because as we know, a successful entrepreneur is often a control freak.
Yep.
Who is afraid to let anybody else touch the bottleneck, because the bottleneck is only created because I personally am so...
No one could do it as good as me. Yeah, exactly.
I'm magical. Nobody else is magical. I mean, it's hilarious. And so how do you get them started? Because I find when I'm coaching agents, I find that to be the hardest thing. They know they need it, but knowing they need it is a different thing from addressing it.
Yeah, it's a great question. I'm glad you asked it. My methodology that I've created, there are 6 keys to becoming time rich. So that's where I start. But the first one is boundaries. So number one is boundaries. They got to make sure that what are you willing to tolerate, allow? What is a priority to you? Someone that says family is my priority, but they're constantly reacting to their phone or they're distracted by social media. So it's like creating the boundaries is important. That's number one. Then number two, what are the communication guidelines that honor those boundaries for all the different relationships in your life, which is your clients, your prospects, your family, your loved ones? What are the communication guidelines? If someone for text, for calls, for Zoom meetings, for email, like what are the rules for each of those different people in your life? And then from there, it's like, cool, let's start talk about systems. So number three is systems. What are the flowcharts, all the if-thens, all the processes for your client journey and also for your talent journey, depending on your business as an entrepreneur? So the client journey is leads. They're both the same, but it's generating leads, whether it's leads for clients or leads for new hires, right? Or like agents, if you're building like a downline model, generating leads, converting those leads, onboarding those leads, and then retaining them as clients or talent. So it's the same thing. What are all the systems? What are all the if-thens in between each of those talking points and the flow of that? McDonald-ifying your business. From there is the playbooks. So that's number four. What are the SOPs? What are the resources, the videos, the templates that back up those systems? That's number four. Number five, who? The team. That's team. Who are the who's that we're putting inside of the system to click the buttons, to answer the calls, to do the thing? And then lastly is number six is what is the technology? What are the tools that you want to use to make this easy? That's like your CRM. That's your, you know, scheduling tool, software, whatever it might be to support those who's to make sure that they could do what their job is. And those are the 6 keys. And it really goes in that order to help someone become time rich. And the part that you just said about letting go of control, the reason why is too often they're starting with number 5, which is let me just find some people that can do it as good as me. But if you're trying to find people that just go into a broken system, it still doesn't solve the problem. Maybe it helps a little bit, but it's like putting a Band-Aid on like a broken ankle, right? It's not really going to solve the issue. We want to start with, let's really dissect the system. If you already have a good process, boom, let's inject a really qualified team into the business. And that's why we created the service that we have, which is let's inject a qualified team for you. And we'll cut out the hiring, interview, and training onboard. And we already did all that. Just use our team to do that for you, depending on your business, of course. But those are our 6 keys to time rich. So boundaries, communication guidelines, systems, playbooks, team, and then tech.
Well, I was looking on my desk for my copy of Dan Sullivan's book, Who Not How. And of course, you know, Dan's coached 1 million entrepreneurs. Is it behind you?
Oh, yeah.
See, Shazam. Look, guys, it's really a beautiful space if you pay attention to it. The people who support entrepreneurs also support each other because we all reach different people. But Who Not How is definitely a game changer in thinking about the people who surround you and what they can get done, because that goes to the heart of the poor hiring practices that a lot of busy people have in sales, which is very reactive. And when you're reactive, you're thinking, you seem fine, so just come in here and I'll throw some shit at you. Mm-hmm. And you go figure it out. And then if you've hired the wrong person, they can't just accept your pile of unfinished projects and do it. But if you're thoughtful about it and plan before you need them, it's a wild scalability change. I love that. So I want to know something about Mike. Mike, tell us, what is one of your boundaries when you're talking about boundaries in life? And I also wrote down the rules of engagement as a wonderful thing to think about, because often we tell people we're available for certain hours, but we don't tell them it's different by channel, because it is. I would much rather reply to a text late at night than get on the phone with somebody late at night. So I love that rules of engagement piece, but I want to know a mic boundary. What is at the top of your list for y'all can't have this?
Sure. So very, very simple. The 9 to 4 Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and 9 to 2 on Friday. So that's like my boundaries of where if somebody wants to get on my schedule, I have about 25 different Calendly links, depending on what type of conversation somebody wants to have with me. So if it's a personal connection, like a friend, it's a catch-up call. If it's someone that wants to learn about our services for VAs, for virtual assistants, it's a 90-day delegation plan. If someone wants to hop on our podcast, then it's the podcast. So each of them have, I have about 25 different links. And one of my virtual assistants understands, if someone wants to get on my schedule, use this link. Very simple process. That's for inside my business working hours. Monday is personal day. That's where I could do whatever I need to do to work on my business, on my life, whatever I want to do. Saturdays are my wife's personal day. So I take the kids before our newborn. Newborn is kind of like making things a little unique right now. But for with James, when he got out of the hospital, was I'll take him. We'll go farmer's market, the zoo here in St. Augustine, the Gator Farm, whatever. And she has a little bit of a personal time. So she has a personal day Saturday. I get a personal day Monday. Sunday's family day. And evenings are with the family after I'm done with calls. So mornings are for me. So mornings are listen to podcasts, read, journal, reflect, meditate, breath work, whatever it might be, for me to kind of get ready and prepared for working in my business during those days. So that is the boundaries. Now that I clearly define the boundaries, everything else falls into what are my non-negotiables? Because what happens, Lee, I create those boundaries and then someone tries to get my attention on a Monday. Monday's personal day. So what message am I sending to a staff member, a prospect, a client, a family member, anybody, whoever's trying to get my attention on Monday? I say that's personal day, but I actually take the call or I actually talk to them or respond to them or I'm in my email or doing work. The message I'm sending to them is, oh, it's not really a boundary. If it's out of bounds, it needs to be communicated. It's out of bounds. Hey, don't respond, right? If you just by responding means you saw it. I'll see it sometimes, but I don't respond. I respond on first thing on Tuesday and let them know, hey, I saw you message me on Mondays. Mondays are my personal day. I'm not on technology, but here's my response. So that way they know. And you do that for every one person. Eventually, each person is going to know the boundary and they're not going to reach out to me on Mondays.
Okay. So I know the excuse that my listeners are giving you right now, because I can read you people's minds. I know what you're thinking. They're all thinking, sounds great for you, Mike, but I'm in real estate.
And I hear that all the time.
I have to work when other people want me. I have to give up my personal day because this house came on the market. I have to work at night because it's a listing in my neighborhood. I have to work on Sunday because it's a relocation client. What do you say to somebody that absolutely will not abide by their own boundaries because they make 1,000 excuses for it?
Well, here's the question. Number one, we got to start with the priorities. I'm going to just make sure this crystal clear. I'm going to be vulnerable with something that not many people know here. All right, I'll be playing with my son. All right, we're like tickle and fight or whatever. I'll be playing with him. And then I know I have like a list of other things I need to do in the other room. And I'm like playing with him, but I'm thinking about the other things I have to do in the other room. And here's what happens in the moment. I say, what do I need to do in the other room? Okay, I need to talk to this person, send this email, get this person on the horn. I got to answer that call. Why do I want to do that? So I can eventually make money, or so I can turn that into a profit. Okay, why do I want to make that money and turn it into a profit? So I can have nice experiences with my son that I'm having right now in this exact moment. So what's to say future Mike, when Mike has all the time freedom and money freedom, that I'm not going to come up with more excuses in the future as to why I can't enjoy the exact moment that I'm in right now that I'm with my son. So instead, in that moment, I'm like, let me be here right now, present. And then When I go back, I'm going to be present. If I don't answer that one call in that moment, I'm willing to lose what's on the other end of it if I'm stuck in this moment right now, because that's the hierarchy of my priorities. And I've already negotiated that with myself. If someone is willing to be in reaction mode, all I say is just reevaluate the priorities. And at some point in time, you'll realize the consequences that you deem might be negative will end up turning into positive consequences eventually. But we got to get out of scarcity, losing that deal or losing that one thing to open up what really matters most to you is probably going to give you more fulfillment and more passion to what you're doing, more energy to what you're doing. But I can't make that decision for you. That's the decision I made for myself. And I lost some business. There's no doubt I lost business because of the boundaries. But then the people that I attracted into my life because of those boundaries and because of the energetic I can bring when I'm present, I would say probably 10x. I think I 10x'd. If I look at the numbers, right? So we got to get out of the scarcity play and just really think differently and build our businesses based on that. If you're nervous about someone answering the call because you're not there, then stop giving your personal cell phone number out. Start giving a cloud phone number out and having a virtual assistant answer the phone for you. So one of our clients has 320 hours of coverage around the clock. So anybody that calls any of his numbers, there's always somebody that answers the phone. And that way it's not his personal line that they're calling. Use a cloud number. So that way you could still provide great service, but you're not the bottleneck. Again, I'm saying you. This is all the stuff that I did in my former business because there had to be a way out. And that's what my business coach coached me to do. And that's my very long answer again, Lee, but I like to be very detailed with my responses.
Well, I can tell you, as a mom of kids that are way older than yours, and as somebody who said yes to way too much in the way of service to the real estate community and to my trade association, well, I've been treated really poorly by my trade association. And if I could go back in time, I would say no. I would say you people can have this trade association and do with it what you will. I need to be with my kids because I've spent a lot of time with my kids, but I cannot go back in time and grab those moments. I can always do stuff for organized real estate. I could always volunteer for this stuff. And when you look back in your life, you should always look back and say, I probably could have made some better choices because that's where your growth comes from. But this mom says, good job, Dad. And I tell a lot of people this when I'm coaching them, you give up your church life for real estate. I have all these people, I see them working deals. They don't go to church and they have these excuses. Well, you know, one day it's not going to be on your tombstone that, you sold an extra house, that nobody's going to care because they can absolutely replace you. And that's okay, because sometimes you should be replaced. And sometimes you should say, I want to be in the one place where I can't be replaced. You can't be replaced in those moments with your kids because you're the only daddy they got. You can't be replaced in those moments with your wife because you're the only husband she's got. But when you look at all those client relationships, absolutely, you can scale yourself. And I think if all of us would look at that a little bit more thoughtfully, objectively, and then take it personally, we can grow a lot. I love it. I love it, Mike. I love that honesty there. All right. Obviously, my episodes are pretty short here on the show. I'm sitting here writing notes as you talk because you are full of information and knowledge. My audience would need one best book to read. Give them a TED Talk. Where should they start this journey? Or maybe what's your best book? I see a whole bunch of them behind you. And I'm going to guess, are you The Road Less Stupid and Buy Back Your Nuts? Dan's book is Buy Back Your Time. Where's
Buy
your
Back
book?
Your Time.
Right there.
Buy Back Your Time. That's the book I would recommend. If there was one book that I think every single entrepreneur needs to read, it's going to be Buy Back Your Time by Dan Martell. Without a doubt, no questions asked. Why? It's because he has the playbook. I've been following the playbook before he had the book. But then when I found the book, I'm like, this is everything I was doing, but he contextualizes it so much better than I did. So his camcorder method, the 10-80-10 principle, I do 10%, delegate 80%, and I do the next 10%. 80% done by somebody else is 100% awesome. Offloading in order, the replacement ladder, admin, marketing, fulfillment, sales, and then leadership. I mean, it is for sure. Dan Martell. Love him. And then obviously
you're totally in the same space and all this.
And then Dan Sullivan, anything Dan Sullivan. I have a Gap in the Gain, Who Not How. I just finished 10X is greater than 2X. All Dan Sullivan's work is fantastic too. So yeah, we're doing this together. And if there's a way for me to support and serve, right now I'm doing free 90-day delegation plans, betterthanrich.com/ free / 90-day plan. I will hop on with anybody that if they want to strategize and figure out their stuff. I'm doing them right now for free just to figure out how I can help this audience as I just retired from Cutco, like I said, and this is what I'm doing. I just want to help this audience as much as possible. BetterThanRich.com/90-day plan, 90-day plan. And I would love to jam.
Well, there you go, people. Free stuff and probably some hard truths that you need. And Mike, thank you so much for coming on the show. We'll have all of the contact information and all the links in the show notes for this episode. For those of y'all that were not paying attention or weren't writing anything down because you're driving, don't worry about it. We got you, boo. It'll all be in there. And I really appreciate the vulnerability. And I really love that you're really going to help people get things better. And that should always be our goal when we're in business or at home. Just get it a little bit better. And I appreciate you being on the show and sharing that, Mike.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me, Lee.
All right, guys, say something nice about Mike down in the comments and give him a high five and a prayer for his kids to have continued health and growth, and pray for the wife too, because until they're all potty trained, it's not exactly fun. Make sure you hit the bell and subscribe, and we'll see you next time.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally won't just subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.